Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I join with Anthony in agreement that it is such a great joy to be together today. I have this privilege to worship, and I'm thankful for this opportunity to share a message from God this morning. I do appreciate the water. I hope you've got your water today. Just for a moment, I want you to imagine that this bottle of water represents the stages of our life. And just like this half bottle of water that I'm drinking now represents, for some of us, maybe half of our life that has been lived, we can look back and we can realize that half of our life is over. We may look back and think about the accomplishments during this time. But here's the important thing that I want you to think about. No matter if your bottle or your glass is half full, mostly full, or nearly empty, from this day forward, I hope you realize that there is immense value in living a life with purpose. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. I've been studying this topic and reflecting on it for some time now. And the last few days has sort of hit me, as I'm sure it has you as well, in a different way. And it's amazing, God, how He kind of works through His Word and through what He shares with us and what we can know about how to live our life. I want to start in the letter to the Romans, where the Apostle Paul revealed that there is a positive outcome for not only for those who love God, but are called according to His purpose. And the results of this are blessings. Blessings of salvation from the law of sin and death. We are provided for a life of peace, and we're promised with a home of glory with God. And I want us to see today that I believe you're truly honest with yourself and what this passage teaches us, that this is vital in achieving our ultimate fulfillment. Don't you want to be ultimately fulfilled in this life? Maybe for some of us, for whatever short life that we have. But you know, even though many of us are called according to His purpose, and I know that we know that, we need recurring reminders for this because of human nature. We need not only reminders, but we need practical ways to help us use this knowledge as our purpose in life. What do you think of when you think of benefits? Benefits are an integral part of our lives. We typically think about it in the employer-employee relationship. And we know that it's important to have retirement plans and personal leave and health insurance. But I want you also to know that there are benefits in knowing our purpose. Even though these might occur in our lives, we need to know that we live lives with purpose. And I want to look at three benefits our remaining time this morning, just a few minutes. I want you to consider with me three benefits that will help us, first of all, that I believe are critical to the foundation of our faith and the key to our spiritual well-being. And the first benefit with a life of purpose that I'd like you to consider is it gives meaning. Life with purpose gives meaning. With over 5 billion copies sold now, the best-selling book publication ever written was the Holy Word of God, the Bible. and found between the prophetic and historical books of the Bible are five wisdom literature writings, and one of those is the book of Ecclesiastes. And that's where I'd like us to spend most of our time from God's word this morning, if you're following along. Most of our passage will be provided with our visually for you, but if you want to follow along, right up front in chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, it reads, "What does a person gain for all his efforts that he labors under the sun?" In other words, in our language, what do we get out of this life? What is the meaning of it? Help me make sense of it all. I would venture to guess that all of us have had questions, have had thoughts about this at some point in our life. And it's not to be unexpected. I'll come back to this in just a minute. In the early 20th century, though, there were several acclaimed philosophers and scientists that were interviewed in Hugh Moorhead's book, The Meaning of Life. And one of those, Bertrand Russell, who was self-described as being an atheist, made an astonishingly correct assessment. Unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. We were made for God and by God for His purpose. As the Apostle Paul reaffirmed for us in the Corinthians, all things were created through Him and for Him. He is the reason for our existence. And unless we accept this principle, I've got news for you. It's never going to make sense in this world. If one really believes that life began with some astronomically random act in this great universe, you're hopeless. There is no meaning in this relatively short life in this earth. It's only through a loving, almighty God that we have identity, that we have meaning, that we have destiny, and we have purpose. There is a creator, and His creation has meaning. So I didn't mean to scare you. I jumped the gun here a little bit on this next chart. Consider this remarkable example. So for you little guys, this is not some sci-fi space alien. Nope. This is a very up-close view of what we all recognize as a pest and could be crawling around at your feet at this very moment. One of the most powerful creatures in the animal kingdom, despite their size. And did you know that the ant has the capacity to live up to 50 times their body weight? With a 30-year potential lifespan, they have the most of the insect world, and a unique ability to live up to 2 weeks underwater. One word description that comes to my mind is purposeful. Amazingly, God takes this insignificant creature and uses it as an example for people. Designed by the creator of the universe as diligent and dedicated workers with effective survival strategies, they showcase the benefits of working together with diverse roles and responsibilities. They're quite fascinating creatures that I believe have lives of purpose. Well, maybe more relatable to us is another incredible design that may not be noticeably apparent, even though we've all experienced it. For mothers with gifts of unborn precious children, we have the ability today to not only imagine, but to actually see the power of God in His creation through 3D and 4D ultrasound technology. God has historically used the number 40 in a significant way. It represents the testing, the times of testing and trials and transformation. And the 40-week gestation period is not unlike with a special time for our early human development. And during this fascinating time, I want you to listen to this. I want you to consider this. While the baby is in the womb, life begins at conception. A heartbeat is detected at day 21. movement and brainwave activity by weeks 5 and 6, with the development of hair, eyes, feet, and hands by weeks 8 and 9. By weeks 24, babies can hear things outside the womb and will blink when startled by loud, sudden noises. By week 32, the baby's memory is active as they prefer songs heard later in the pregnancy over only those heard after birth. If we're reasonable with the data that we've been given to look around and see what's around us, shouldn't it be obvious to anyone? Human life is no accident. Those that would intentionally cause harm to the innocent, it's just barbaric and wicked. There is a designer, there's a creator, a sustainer of all life, and human life is the crowning glory of all creation. As David correctly observed, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So whether you're looking at the human body, or you're looking at the animal or plant kingdom, or you're looking at this great galaxy around us, we can perceive the power and the glory, the intelligence of Jehovah God. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Great news. There's great news for us. We were created with a purpose. God communicates that purpose through his holy and divine message. And in it, it tells us these things. It tells us why we live. It tells us how life works. It tells us what to avoid, and it tells us what to expect. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God wants us all to be active, to be accomplishing great things during our short time on this earth. And since God is the reason for our existence, then, don't you think he cares about his creation? Don't you think he wants a relationship with us? We, in return, recognize this goodness. And we, our lives, should exemplify this goodness through our gratitude, through our thanksgiving to him, just like we're expressing this morning in our worship. We glorify God because he is glorious. So Jesus shows us the way to glorify God. He showed us, "Let your light shine before others so that you may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We honor God by fulfilling his promise through shining our lights, through bringing him glory, through love and good works. Love and good works, friends. How do we love? First of all, we need to love life. You need to love your life because it is a gift of God. It is precious. You need to have a love for God. And we're doing that today through our worship and through our obedience. We need to have love for others through our service and through our kindness to others. But no, we don't stop there. We have to have good works. And how do we do that? Good works is accomplished through sharing. We share the gospel message through the word. But not only through the word, you don't stop there. It's through your example. Friends, you can have all the knowledge and all the information that this holy word can share with us. And if you don't live that, if you don't use that in your example, you're not doing good works. Also, you use your God-given gifts and talents. And then by giving, give your best. Give your best to avoid sin. Satan is roaring around as a roaring lion. I don't know how much we have to emphasize that. We are all susceptible to that, and we cannot let our guards down. We cannot ignore and think that Satan is some fairy tale cartoon creature. He is real and he is active. So a life with purpose, it gives meaning, but it also gives direction. It gives direction in our lives. Without direction, life just happens without having a clear purpose. Do you know some people that are like that? There's no direction in their life. They're just aimlessly going through life. You know, in the past years, Some of you under the age of 30 probably can't imagine this, but we live without GPS apps and technology. And those of us that have been around, we may have had to actually have help to try to get direction somewhere, right? Maybe lost on some rural road or something. And I know I have. I've been told before, well, you know what? You just can't get there from here. You just can't get there from here, right? And that's the same as trying to reach life purpose without or with the wrong focus. Friends, you have an outcome. You can't get there from here. An additional perspective that was made over 3,000 years ago, if we'll scan down just a few verses, chapter 1 and verse 8, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Here is insight from one that had experienced the height of riches and power and success. King Solomon, who was blessed by the Creator of life with the most wisdom and wealth that this world has ever known. But you know what his ultimate conclusion was? There's limits in this life. Limitations in this life. He goes on to describe this never-ending cycle as we wrap up chapter 1. He says that people are born and people die. The sun comes up and then it goes down and then it starts all over again the next day. The winds blow in circles and then it returns to its origin. Rivers and creeks flow into the ocean. But why does the ocean never fill? Every day feels the same. Every season, every year is just like the next one. Every generation is like the last one. Nothing really changes. Nothing ever truly is satisfied. You know, it's so easy to get complacent in this life, to get distracted in this life, to go from one endeavor to another. But in this life, for those of us that have observed, just like King Solomon did, there's a familiar hit that rings true in my mind from the 60s that was a popular song, "I Can't Get Satisfaction." Without a true focus in life, without a clear purpose, people are inclined to make reckless, careless, emotional decisions that are life-changing choices. And the reason for that, there's the hope, there's the attempt that with each change, it will bring more happiness, it will possibly fulfill, and maybe even fill some void or gap in life. Interestingly enough, on this date in 1969, Judy Garland died from a drug overdose at the age of 47. And I would say that most of us here, probably Judy Garland doesn't resonate with you. But what if I told you Judy Garland was the little girl Dorothy who we visualize going down that yellow brick road, skipping along in her ruby red slippers with her little dog Toto? The 1939 MGM musical classic, The Wizard of Oz. Tragically ironic, those slippers skipping down this path symbolize Judy's journey to just try and go home. Sadly, Judy Garland endured a prolonged battle with substance addiction, and this eventually led to her death. But you know what's astounding to me about Judy Garland is how many Judy Garlands there has been through the years. How many others in the spotlight like her that have faced similar struggles and outcomes? Marilyn Monroe, Natalie Wood, River Phoenix, Heath Ledger. Maybe if you're familiar with musicians, Kurt Cobain, Jim Morrison, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, Prince. What about those, can you imagine this, that have the sole focus to bring you and I happiness? Robin Williams, John Belushi, Chris Farley, Matthew Perry. The list goes on and on, spanning across generations as well as professional or different journeys in life. How do people in our culture view these celebrities? They hold them in high self-esteem. They've got it all. They've got it figured out, right? Success is often equated with wealth and fame. But the reality, though, is often a struggle in achieving fulfillment. Feelings of despair leading to such issues as addictions and substance abuse, which we know can ultimately shorten one's lifespan. Thousands of years ago, we can read about it. There's nothing new under the sun as the wealthiest, most powerful man in the world confirmed that no matter how much wealth, how much knowledge, how much success that we acquire, it will not bring fulfillment. He goes on to describe later in this chapter how some foolishly chase the wind and try to make what is crooked straight. And the outcome is just frustration. It only leaves us with more discontent and more dissatisfaction. Maybe it's just a lack of resources. Maybe we just need more knowledge. Maybe we need more power, success, control. If I had these things, I would only be happier, be more satisfied. God tells us that's an impossible mission in this life to obtain value and purpose out of the things that God did not intend. Instead, God wants from us, He desires from us our trust, our dependence. And if you're not living with the wisdom of God, it will be a life apart from God. It will be a life lacking purpose. Well, finally, not only do the benefits of living with a purpose give us meaning, it gives us direction, but it gives us hope. We're familiar with this year, right? Be hopeful. We are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jeremy. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. A purposeful life gives us motivation to glorify God. And if we contrast a life without God, here's the results. A life without God, life has no purpose. Without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no hope. We need hope to cope. We need hope so badly in our world. As Jeremiah prophesied, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." God also gives us the purpose for permanency and immortality, as we read over in chapter 3, verse 11. "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." We understand that there's no permanency as sojourners and travelers while we're here on this earth. However, we were created with the inherent ability to realize that there must be something more than this life. But even with a sense of eternity, there is uncertainty on how this is going to play out for us. What's going to happen to us in our life? We don't know the details of our future, how all the pieces fit together. We cannot find what God does from beginning to end. Life then is a test. It's a training field. And in preparation for eternity, we must complete this test of life. We all are taking a test. Just as our time in our mother's womb prepared us for now, the time that we're spending on this earth will prepare us for the next phase of life. The good news is that we have a loving God, a giver of everlasting life. And Jesus shows us how. We're not left to our own devices to try to figure this thing out. Jesus gave us the greatest commands to follow. "You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Our character is being tested by our demonstration of love and faithful obedience. It reveals who we are. That's what character does. How we love, how we respond to things in this life, how we respond to adversity, how we respond to success, how we respond to blessings, how we respond to social interactions, our choices in life, how we respond. As Jesus' brother James reminds us, the testing of our faith produces faithfulness, commitment. The goodness of God wants us to pass this test. He provides us the blueprint. He gave us the answers to our final exam through His divine word. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains faithful under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. God has given you and I a purpose for how to live, how life works, what to avoid, and what to expect. And in God's infinite wisdom, He knows what's best for us and what we need, not wanting any of us to become too attached to this world, to this life. God didn't promise a life of ease and comfort. That's a false teaching that some believe, that if I follow God, well, I'm just going to have a great life here on this earth. God does give us blessings in this life, but there are no assurances that we're not going to have difficulties. We know we're going to experience discomfort. We're going to experience discontent. We're going to have dissatisfaction. But all through this, we cannot lose our faith. Our physical bodies will continue to age. However, we continue to grow and develop spiritually. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. Learning to love and trust Jesus now will lead to spending eternity with Him. Learning to love and trust Jesus now will lead us to spending eternity with Him. Is that what you all want? You can have that. As Peter shares for us, according to His promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Heaven is a place greater than any of us can fathom, can imagine. So today, what is your life? For you a mist. You're a mist. And then what appears for a little time will vanish. You know, most people think they have time until time suddenly ends. A wise old man was asked once in his final days here on this earth to tell someone what was his observation on receiving the most fulfillment. And here's what he recalled. Here's how he reflected upon his life. He responded that he had had a blessed life, that he had had few regrets in this life, that he looked back with fond memories, grateful for the time that he was allowed, especially appreciative of the relationships that he had over the years. What a great, wonderful attitude to have. What a great example of a well life lived. I don't have to tell you, we don't have guarantees. There are no guarantees in this life. And with that being the case, we shouldn't take it for granted. You can have no assurance for tomorrow. Now, I will say you need to plan for tomorrow, but you also need to live for today. Today is the day at hand. This is all that we have guaranteed. With God's love and God's help, He wants to lead us through the journey in life. Will you take this with you today? Three benefits that we've shared today. The benefits in living with a real purpose in life. First of all, it gives meaning to life. You and I need meaning in this life. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But I know this. You were created for a purpose. Living with a real purpose in life gives direction in life. It improves our life. Who wants to go around aimlessly wandering through life trying to stumble upon good fortune and bad fortune? And finally, it gives hope in life. It prepares us for eternity. A life with purpose is the only way to really live. It is the best life that you can live. A life devoted to being the best Christian, as a brother and sister in God's family, Haven't we needed that this week? We need to get to know one another. We need to depend upon one another. We need to help one another through this life. And I don't know what else can be more apparent in the lives that we have. You can't do this solo. You can't do this outside the church. We are a child of God, and we need to give our best effort in serving and being kind and loving one another. And we also need to give our best effort to not sin, to avoid sin, to realize what it will do to us and to those around us. Being the best kind of husband and wife and father and mother and son and daughter and grandparent and grandson, granddaughter, friend, neighbor, whatever we find our role in this life, be the best that you can be. May this be our description in life, to have a Jesus focus. Focus on Christ. Promote His purpose and His commitment to the Great Commission. And I hope and pray that we all can have this description that we read about of King David of Israel, a man of God's heart who served the purpose of God in his own generation. God loves and wants to save us, but this comes with expectations and requirements upon us. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And my hope and prayer today that we all will purpose in our hearts that we submit to God's will. And that's going to require humility, a recognition that we are not in control of our lives. I know that you love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Hey, if I seem pretty passionate about this, I'm not going to make any excuses or any kind of apologies. This is important stuff. And it's important to me, and I want you to realize how important it is for you. And if you're here with us today, and you're not, your life, you may think you have a life of purpose, but maybe after reflecting upon the things that we've discussed this morning, maybe there's some improvements that you can make to start today and head forward with a right focus in life. You need to begin today with a heart of repentance. You need to confess that Jesus is Lord and put on Christ in baptism. We would love to be able to support you today with this intent, this decision. If you have some other spiritual condition or need that we can pray with you about, we'd love to be able to assist you with that. And this is a good time to do that. We're going to ask that you come forward while we all remain seated as we sing this hymn.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.